Whether you love them or hate them or you're somewhere in between, horror films play a big role in American pop culture. So let's explore some horror films with a Michigan connection as we say hello to Andrew Lapin, NPR film critic. Hi there.
Thank you, Laura.
Okay, let's get right to it with an all-time classic, The Evil Dead.
Yes, this is the classic Michigan horror movie. This is 1981, ultra-low budget demonic possession film about these five friends from Michigan State who are vacationing together in the woods and play an audio tape that accidentally unleashes these demons who possess their friends and do all sorts of really ooky, gross things to them.
They may be recalled to active life through the incantations presented in this book. It is through recitation of these passages that the demons are given license to possess the living.
As a Michigan State grad, I'll just say it was those of us who lived in Cedar Village. Those who are released upon the world. So I know this story well.
No comment. So this is really well known for launching the careers of its director, Sam Raimi, and star Bruce Campbell. Both of them hail from Royal Oak. Sam Raimi, of course, would go on to make the Spider-Man trilogy and all sorts of big Hollywood blockbusters. But at the time, they were just scrapping together as much money as they could to shoot this thing. And so the special effects are very DIY. They are very creative. And the script itself is very witty. And there's a lot of charisma to the movie. Bruce Campbell, you know, brings a lot of charm as Ash, the hero of the movie. And this is kind of unique for horror movies, which usually focus so much energy on the villain. And this is, I think, one of the key moments where the audience actually does care about the hero because he's such a great presence on screen. And it's just a fun movie to watch because it is so gross. Like, I'm just telling you, just the degree of, like, stuff that happens is incredible, especially when you realize what they were working with, the filming conditions and the ultra-low budget.
How important is campiness, in your opinion, to the sustainability of a horror film or something that becomes a classic that we watch every Halloween?
Yeah, I think a lot of the best horror movies do have that campy spirit. They're a bit self-aware about what they're trying to do, which is frighten you, but in a fun way. And that goes back to Vincent Price. You know, there's a long tradition of horror movies letting you know that they're in on the joke. And that certainly became apparent once the first Evil Dead made a lot of money and they went back and made Evil Dead 2, which is basically a slapstick comedy with, you know, demons and stuff. But the series, as it progressed, continued to develop its comedic elements. It found a real cult icon in Bruce Campbell. He made this whole career out of starring in B-movies and attending fan conventions. And so this is a series that really embraces the goofiness of fake blood. Maybe that's a good way to say it.
Let's move on to It Follows, which I've never seen, nor have I ever heard of it. So tell me about It Follows.
Sure. It Follows, probably this decade is the most significant Michigan horror movie. This is from Clawson native David Robert Mitchell, who is the writer and director, and was completely shot in and around Detroit. The plot of this movie is there is basically a demon that is slowly walking toward you. It can take any form. It can't be killed. When it reaches you, it will kill you.
It's moving. What's it doing? It's walking. It's just walking. Paul, I want to get out.
No, just wait for it to get in.
No, I don't want to do this. I just want to get out. Oh. Jake!
Get out of there!
The only way to get the demon to stop chasing you is to have sex with someone. So this is what people online have called a sexually transmitted demon. And there's an obvious metaphor here for AIDS and all that kind of thing. But what the movie is doing is it's creating this weird, you know, sense of unease where you'll be looking at a bunch of people in a crowd and you'll see someone in the distance who's kind of slowly walking and you're like, oh no, is that it? Are they going to kill me now? And there's such an odd atmosphere to this movie that I think is what makes it really interesting. It starts in the suburbs and then eventually makes its way into Detroit proper, but the city itself is never named. The time period is sort of anachronistic because they're using a lot of outdated technology. And there's this sense that it's a kind of ethereal dream space that this movie is taking place in. And there's a really good essay on the movie by Detroit writer Mark Benelli in Slate, who says that It Follows is basically a metaphor for the suburbanites' fear of Detroit in the 80s and 90s, just this sense that like some kind of decay was going to come and engulf the whole state.
Interesting.
So there's a little bit of sociopolitical commentary in there if you know where to look for it.
Well, that movie's not that old. It came out in 2014. And then in 2016, another movie I hadn't heard of, Don't Breathe.
Yeah, Don't Breathe. The exteriors were shot in Detroit. And it was also produced by Sam Raimi. So it has that same kind of go for broke horror spirit to it. But this is a reverse home invasion thriller. So you follow these three young robbers as they try to put a hit out on a house. An old blind man lives there. They figure it's going to be a real easy cut and run for them. Turns out this guy is a war veteran who is very, very good at defending himself. And so it quickly becomes a cat and mouse game within his own house.
He's coming.
Now you're going to see what I see.
These kids quickly realize they're out of their element, and there's a lot of skeletons in this guy's closet. And as you can imagine, the lights are going out, and there's sounds everywhere, and it's going to keep you on the edge of your seat the whole time. This is one of the grislier horror movies of the last few years, I think.
Ugh, probably not for me. I have a very weak constitution when it comes to horror films. So before we go, there are a couple other films, of course, Scream 4, which took place in Ann Arbor, and Only Lovers Left Alive. Where did that take place?
That took place partially in Detroit and also partially in Tangiers. And I threw in Only Lovers Left Alive here because it's not really a horror movie, so I recommend it to people who don't think they can stand a typical horror movie.
Oh, so me.
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
But it stars vampires, so you still get the creatures of the damned, you know, atmosphere in there. It's by one of my favorite directors, Jim Jarmusch. And it's about these two vampire lovers, played by Tom Hiddleston and Tilda Swinton, who have been together for something like 400 years. And Tom Hiddleston is this rock musician living in Detroit's Brush Park.
And this is the famous Michigan Theater. They built it back in the 1920s. A huge sum of money. It's built, ironically, on the exact same site as Henry Ford made his very first prototype.
And he reconnects with Tilda Swinton, and the two of them drink blood like it's heroin. And so the whole movie has this really cool, breezy vibe to it, where it's like, what would it be like to be a vampire who has just kind of absorbed all of society into your veins?
Oh, vampire love drama. That sounds like my speed. Okay, but I wanted to end by talking about The Crow. It wasn't actually filmed here in Detroit, but it takes place in Detroit, and it became an iconic movie for a very specific reason.
Right. It's a sad reason. I mean, this became a really urban legend movie. The star, Brandon Lee, died on set in this terrible accident where there were live rounds in a prop gun, and the actors didn't know it.
But he was Bruce Lee's son, and he was supposed to come up as this sort of next generation of Lee actors.
Exactly. Cut down in the prime of his life. And what's really creepy is to look at what the movie really is, which is a supernatural goth superhero movie where Brandon Lee's character is killed in the opening scene and then resurrects himself the following year to take revenge on his killers.
Come back, all right? Don't kill me.
I'm not going to kill you. Your job will be to tell the rest of them that death is coming for them tonight. Tell them Eric Draven sends his regards.
And he's killed on Devil's Night, even though the movie wasn't shot in Detroit. I think the sort of Detroit aesthetic of grungy, you know, creepiness, just the vibes of what the city was and the underground scene play a really big role in capturing the atmosphere of the movie. And that one's available on Netflix right now. And I know it is very queasy just knowing the backstory to it, but I would recommend it for the atmosphere and the sense of something different unfolding, you know, and seeing this amazing actor giving his final performance.
So a lot of very spooky Michigan horror films out there. Andrew Lapin, NPR film critic, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. I took my baby to a